Abishai asks if Shimei should be put to death for cursing the Lord's anointed. David promises Shimei that he will not be put to death. Mephibosheth also goes down to meet David, and he is not taking care of his feet, his mustache, or his clothes. And David asks him why he did not leave with him when he left the city. Mephibosheth explains that he had been deceived by his servants who he sent to saddle the donkeys. Instead of providing them for Mephibosheth, he rode out of town of them on his own. So David decides to divide the land of Saul that he had given to Ziba back, half between Mephibosheth and Ziba, but Mephibosheth wants David to give it all to Ziba because David has come home safely to his house where Mephibosheth can eat his meals. Barzillai is at the Jordan River also, and he's provided for all the needs of David at Mahanaim. David wants him to come to Jerusalem, but he refuses because he's 80 years old and he does not expect to live that much longer. But he asks David if maybe his servant Chimham can go with him to Jerusalem instead, and David agrees, promising to care for him all the rest of his days. Therefore, the king kisses Barzillai, and he returns to Mahanaim. And David goes on to Gilgal with all the tribe of Judah and half of the people of Israel. But there at Gilgal, an old strife arises when all of Israel assembles. Israel feels that Judah has stolen the king from them. Judah replies that they have acted so because he is a close relative of theirs. Now Israel puts up the argument that they have 10 parts in the king, that's the 10 tribes, so they have a greater stake in his kingship. Why did Judah not wait to bring David back to Jerusalem until they called for him? However, the words of Judah are harsher and more convincing than the words of Israel at that time. Now Sheba is a worthless man. He's a Benjamite who blows the trumpet and says, "We have no portion in David. We have no portion in Jesse. Everyone to his tents, O Israel." And all the men of Israel at the Jordan River that day withdrew from David and returned to their homes. And David continues towards his home in Jerusalem. Well, in Jerusalem, David takes the concubines that Absalom had defiled and places them in a house under guard, and he provides for their needs as if they are widows, but he never goes into them again. David sends Amasa to gather the men of Judah and return with them within 3 days, but Amasa takes longer than that. David calls Abishai and tells him to pursue Sheba because he is more deadly to the kingdom than Absalom was. When Abishai leaves, Joab follows. At the big stone in Gibeah, the men come upon Amasa, who is returning to Jerusalem. Now, Joab's dagger falls out of his belt, and he picks it up and he keeps it in his hand. He approaches Amasa to kiss him, but instead he grabs him by the head and stabs him in the belly. One of the young soldiers calls for a decision on who is for David or for Joab. No one moves. So the soldiers move the body of Amasa to a field, and they throw a garment over it. Then Abishai and Joab with the men continue to search for that worthless man, Sheba. Joab finds Sheba in the city of Beth-Mach. His men are destroying the walls when a wise woman calls out, "Here, here, please tell Joab, come here that I may speak to you." So Joab comes up and she tells him that she's of the peaceable people in the city, and she asks him not to destroy the city in Israel or any of the mothers. She tells Joab to wait, and the head of Sheba will be thrown over the wall to him. The woman makes her case to the people in Beth-Mach, and they do as she asks. Now with the head of Sheba, Joab blows the trumpet, and they all disperse to their tents while Joab returns to Jerusalem. A terrible famine occurs in the land. So at the end of the 3 years, David asks the Lord why the famine has gone on so long. It's a punishment for the sin of Saul, who tried to destroy the Gibeonites. David approaches the Gibeonites and he asks what he can do to make atonement. They want 7 of the sons of Saul to hang because Saul is no longer alive. Well, David agrees, but he has not forgotten his promise to Jonathan about Mephibosheth. He gives them Armoni and Mephibosheth. Now, this is not the crippled son of Jonathan. This is the Mephibosheth that is the son of Rizpah. And he also gives 5 sons of Merab, Michael's sister, who is the daughter of Saul. David gives them to the Gibeonites, and they hang them on the mountain on the first day of barley harvest. Rizpah spreads out a sackcloth on a rock, and she stays there until it finally rains. All the time she waits, she keeps the birds and the beasts away from them day and night. The grieving and mourning of Rizpah causes David to grieve. He takes the bones of Saul and Jonathan from the men of Jabesh-Gilead that they had buried underneath the tamarisk tree, as well as the bones of the seven men that were hung, and he buries them in the grave of Kish, Saul's father. Then God is moved by the prayer of the land. Once again, the Philistines wage war against Israel, and David goes out to fight against them. But David is old, and he becomes weary. Ishbi-benob is a descendant of Goliath, and he intends to kill David. But Abishai strikes him down. Later, the Philistines attack at Gob. And there, Sibonichah kills Saph, another descendant of Goliath. The Philistines attack again at Gob. Elhananiah kills Goliath, another descendant of Goliath, the Goliath that David killed when he was young. Once again, the Philistines break out in war at Gath, and David's nephew, Shimei, kills another descendant of Goliath. And this was a giant that had six fingers and six toes on each hand and on each foot. With the defeat of the Philistines that year, David composes a song to sing of deliverance, including his deliverance from the hand of Saul. He sang, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." He ends the song with, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He is the tower of deliverance to the king, and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever." Soon David speaks his last public words, and the people declare that this son of Jesse is the man who has been raised high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Here are his last public words. "The Spirit of God spoke to me, and his word is on my tongue. He says, 'He who rules over men righteously, he who rules in fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without cloud when the tender grass springs out of the earth through sunshine after rain. Truly is not my house so with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured. For all my salvation and all my desire, will he not indeed make it grow? But the worthless, every one of them will be thrust away like thorns, because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they will be completely burned with fire in their place." With that, the Bible tells us the 37 names of the mighty men of valor. Once again, the anger of the Lord burns against Israel when David commands Joab to count the people. Joab says to David that he really and truly hopes that the number will grow 100 times while David can still see. David sends Joab and he counts everyone in the nation and surrounding area of Sidon, Tyre, the Hivites, and the Canaanites. The task takes 9 months and 20 days, and Joab registers 800,000 valiant swordsmen in Israel and 500 valiant swordsmen in Judah. However, the registration troubles David in his heart because it is a sin, and he confesses that sin to the Lord, who sends the prophet Gad with his reply. For punishment, Gad offers 3 remedies. There will be 7 years of famine, or David can flee 3 months before his enemies, or there will be 3 days of pestilence in the land. David is greatly distressed, and he leaves the choice in the hands of the Lord, who chooses to send 3 days of pestilence. And by the 3rd day, 70,000 men have died of the pestilence. As the angel stretches out his hand to destroy the people in Jerusalem by the threshing floor of Arnon, the Jebusite, the Lord stops him and says, "It is enough." David confesses that he is a sinner, and that he is the one who did the wrong, and the prophet Gad instructs David to go to the threshing floor and build an altar. Anuhan wants to give the floor to David, but David insists on buying the floor. He does not want to offer an altar to the Lord that does not cost him something. David bought the threshing floor and oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and then proceeds with his offering and prayer. It moves the Lord, and he stops the plague. In David's last days, it is difficult for him to stay warm. His advisors decide to bring in a beautiful young woman to nurse him and keep him warm. Abishag is chosen, a Shunammite girl who has never had sexual relationships with a man. And while David is still alive, the son Adonijah, the younger brother of Absalom, makes himself king and invites everyone to his coronation except the closest advisors of David, which includes Zadok the high priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men of valor. It's a big feast with the sacrifice of many sheep, oxen, and fatlings. Now Nathan hears of the feast and tells Bathsheba because David has promised her that her son Solomon will be king. They make a plan to tell David. Bathsheba will go in first, and then later Nathan will come in and tell the same story to David about the news of Adonijah. In David's room, Bathsheba enters first. A little while later, Nathan follows. David instructs Nathan to take oil from the tent and anoint Solomon king. So Nathan, with Zadok the priest, Benaniah, and all those who were not invited to Adonijah's party, participate in Solomon's crowning. They cry out, "Long live Solomon!" and the people cheer. The noise overshadows Adonijah's feast, and the news causes Adonijah great fear for his life. All his people slip away to their homes. In fear, Adonijah enters the tent and holds on to the horns of the altar. Solomon hears of it and has him brought to him. Solomon tells Adonijah, "If you do good, you will live. If you do evil, you will die. Now go to your house, Adonijah." As David is about to take his last breath, he charges Solomon to keep all the laws of the Lord spoken through Moses. He promises that if his sons and his grandsons will do the same, a descendant of David will always sit on the throne in Jerusalem. David also reminds Solomon of the evil Joab and what he did to him. He tells Solomon what he needs to do with him. He also reminds Solomon of what the evil Shimei did when Absalom rebelled. And he makes Solomon promise that he will not let them go unpunished. With the charges Solomon completed, David dies after being king for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem. Dejected, Adonijah has one request of Solomon, but he will not ask for himself. He asks Bathsheba to ask Solomon for Abishag to be his wife, and Bathsheba agrees. She approaches Solomon and sits on her throne that's right next to his on his right. "Solomon, may I ask something small, and will you not reject me?" she says. "Anything for you, mother," he replies. "Will you give Abishag to Adonijah for a wife?" she asks. "Why don't you ask me for the world?" he responds. "As the Lord lives, Adonijah would be put to death today." And Solomon sends Benaniah, and he falls on Adonijah, killing him. Abiathar had supported Adonijah, and Solomon will not kill him, but he dismisses him from the priesthood and sends him home. Joab runs in the tent and holds on to the horns of the altar. Solomon tells Benaniah to bring him out and kill him. Twice Benaniah calls for him, but he will not leave the tent, the tabernacle. Solomon tells Benaniah to fall on him and kill him, then bury him. So Benaniah follows the king's instructions. Solomon then gives Benaniah Joab's position as head of the army. Solomon calls Shimei and tells him to build a house and not to leave it ever. The day he leaves the house, he will die. 3 years later, two of Shimei's servants run away, and he leaves the house to retrieve them. Solomon sends Benaniah to kill them. And when he finds him, he falls on Shimei, and Shimei dies. With Shimei's death, the kingdom is firmly established as Solomon's.